Father, we honor you, we praise you, we thank you. We pray your blessings upon your word. As we fellowship in your word, O God, your truth will be revealed unto us, that we'll be able to go forth and continue to run this race with victory. Those that are here with us that would like to join the family would respond to the invitation to accept you as Lord and Savior, to reunite their lives with you. Have your way, God. Thank you for what has already transpired in your service. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we want to talk about you may be the one. You may be the one. 1 Samuel 16, what's going on is Saul, because of his acts of disobedience, is being fired as king of Israel. Yes, God can fire who he hires. Amen. Amen. Saul about ready to get the axe. He's about ready to be sent to the unemployment office. So in 1 Samuel 16, we have Samuel being sent to locate and anoint the new king. That's why the title says, you may be the one. Many of us don't know what God has put in us. Some of those around us would never know, because man looketh on the outside, but God looketh at the heart. I want to let somebody know today, you ought to be careful how you deal with rejection from man. Because man doesn't have your entire picture if you're a Christian. Man can't see everything that you have. I know how the process goes. You present a resume and they interview you and, you know, they ask you some questions and they try to get a feel of whether or not you are the one for the job. I mean, I used to do that for 20-something years. But there's always something that you don't know. And that's the part that God already knows. So if you've been rejected by people all your life, don't forget. There's still something in you that God may want from you, and that God will make sure that you're accepted, not by them, but by him. Oh, you got to be careful how you deal with rejection. So you may be the one. You just might be the one. In the scripture for today, what does he tell Samuel? He gave Samuel some instructions. He said, Samuel, I'm getting ready to fire Saul, but I provided me a king among Jesse's sons. You're sitting here today, you don't know what God has told Samuel to come look for you for. You don't know when God's going to call up what he put in you. Each and every one of us has at least one gift from the Holy Spirit. And you don't know what God's going to put in you, but you have to understand that when he calls you, when he anoints you, when he points you out, when he selects you, you got to understand there is a preparation period. You don't come from anointing, from the anointment to the appointment. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Amen. But God gave Samuel some instruction. He said, Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? I'm the boss and I got rid of him. Seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel, and 1 Samuel 16 and 1. Fill thy horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I provided me a king among his sons. Don't mourn for Saul no more. I'm getting ready to change some stuff. I'm getting ready to hire me a new king. Old king messed up. I'm getting ready to hire me somebody new. So I want you to fill your horn with oil. Stop worrying about Saul. And I want you to go down to Jesse and his sons. I have provided me a king among his sons. You got to know, before you were born in your mother's womb, according to Jeremiah, God already ordained you. He already put stuff in you. And you really don't know what it is. You really can't get a feel for it until you give your life back to Christ. Because when we give our lives to Christ, then the Spirit of God awakens that dead spirit, or that flesh spirit, or that natural spirit. And then we begin to do those things. And we don't realize what we're doing. You begin to like certain things. You begin to read the Bible. You begin to get involved in certain things. You begin to get mesmerized by certain things, and certain things interest you, and certain things you hang on to, and certain things in life, just because God put it in you, but it didn't wake up until you gave your life to Christ.
So he gave Samuel some instructions. Samuel said, how can I go? Because in order for me to get to where you want me to go, I got to go through Saul. As far as I know, Saul still think he's king. And if he hear it, he going to kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And then call Jesse to the sacrifice. He didn't say call nobody else. Sometimes he gets so excited. God got me doing something. He'll call, tell the whole neighborhood. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him who I name unto thee. Oh, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. And Samuel did in verse 4, which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, cometh thou peaceably? Because Samuel's a prophet, and sometimes he come with some bad news. You know, the prophet has some bad news sometimes, and sometimes he had good news. So he said, cometh thou peaceably? He said, peaceably I come. I ain't come to hurt nothing. He said, I come to you peaceably. I come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, he's telling Jesse and his sons, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. But you got to be careful, because God said, I will name you. I will show you the one I pick. You ought to be careful in church when you start picking folk because of how they look. We used to have a ball thing called him the empty suit. Dress well. But from one planet, you couldn't tell. So look at Samuel's selection. Look what Samuel did. At verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. When you look at another translation, he looked at Eliab and said, wow, this got to be the one. Why? Because he looked like Saul. You got to be careful picking the same type you had before. Because evidently his height and his stature didn't have nothing to do with him doing the job. You got to have heart for the job. So here's Samuel losing it. Samuel saying, oh, Lord, I know it's Eliab. Now, what did God say to Samuel in verse 7? But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Church, look not on his or her countenance. He said, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to, on the height of the stature, because I have what? Refused him. He didn't say Eliab was a bad person. Didn't say he didn't like Eliab. But I refuse him for this particular position. Don't get offended when you get rejected for certain jobs, because that's not the one God had for you. I know that's the one you wanted, but it's not the one God had for you. And always remember, God never runs out of jobs. God is not bankrupt. God is not jobless. He'll make a job for you. You go to a company and tell you they're not hiring and get a call the next day. Can you come in? Oh, I wish I had a witness. Tell me what God came to. He said, but I don't want you looking on his countenance or his height or his stature, because I refuse him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. People call you all kind of names. You look in the mirror and say, God, don't see me like that. You got to learn how to encourage yourself. You got to learn how to, you know, to tell yourself, I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. I'm more than what they call me. You got to understand that. You got to understand. But the Lord looketh on the what? The heart. God had put something in the son's heart to be a king. So here's Samuel doing exactly what God told him to do. But Samuel got a little mixed up. He said, oh, man, look at Eliab. Tall dude, you know what I mean? Clean shaven. Probably olive color skin. You understand what I'm saying? You know, had a Jerry curl, you know. Looking real kingly. Real kingly. And God said, let me stop Samuel right now. Because Samuel, you're going to mess up. You're going to get the wrong one on the throne. I had enough of Saul already. Anybody had enough of stuff already in your life? You just had enough of that already? And you trying to find out who God really wants? Of that mind. Let me move on, because, yeah, it's already getting late. Look at verse 8. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, neither hath the Lord chosen this one. Because now Samuel's on point now. So you got to
You got to be ready when you make a selection. You got to have the spirit and the presence of God. You got to have God speaking in your ear. And you know what? When you go to different services, if somebody comes in, they're a prophet or prophetess, and they speak something to you, don't go run around telling everybody what they said, shouting hallelujah, till you verify with God. Get a little confirmation before you start going crazy all over the place. Oh, did you hear what she said? Here's that. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that. I see somebody about 2 years later, still the same thing. Because once they confirm what the prophet or prophetess told you, you need to seek that thing in prayer. You need to read the word of God and say, what does God have to say about it? So you can begin to have your heart pricked.
Oh, my God. But so many people want to go from the anointment to the appointment.
Even Jesus had a preparation stage. Lord have mercy. Ask Moses how long it took. Ask Paul. Ask Mary. Ask Deborah and ask all of them how long it took before they were able to do what God had called them to do.
So he has here, Benadab said, nah. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither have the Lord chosen this one. See, God has his own selection. And sometimes we get mad when maybe folk don't pick us, especially in the church. And God ain't telling them to pick you. You ought to just wait till your turn come for your heart, the thing in your heart to be picked. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We get all. That's why you can't play politics in church, because God got it under control. You can pick whoever you want, but you can make a mess, too. Okay, let me move on. Somebody said, move on. Verse 10, and again, Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. So Samuel received some instructions from God. And Samuel tried to make his own selection. God stepped in. Remember, Samuel, God does not look at things like man looks at things. Man looks on the outside. God looks at the heart. That's why I say be careful how you deal with rejection. Don't let rejection mess you up. People are rejecting you on what they think they know, what they think they see. They don't really know you. They don't know what God's doing with you. Even in church sometimes, people look at you like, they don't look like they can sing. Mess around, boy. So who's God's selection? Look at verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keeps the sheep. I need to let you know that sometimes your name is not even in the lineup. Your name is not even in the mix, but your name is in God's mouth, and it's in God's mind. They not even exclude you. They may ask for nominations and nominees. And I used to hate that in school because they just put your name in so they wouldn't have to do it. But they hadn't included David. David's out there tending the sheep. They figure, oh, he's too little, he's too young to be nobody's king. Jesse didn't even bring David in the mix. You need to know your name may not even on the list right now, but as a Monday morning. God going to put. Are here all thy children? And he said, every man yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. So I can't sit down. God's not speaking in my ear. God's not telling me he's the one. He's not telling me she's the one. You got to have somebody else in your family, because God would have spoken to me. I'm used to dealing with God. I'm used to God telling me this is the one, that is the one. And right now, he's not saying anything. Heaven is silent, so you got to have somebody else. Jesse, do you have one more son? Do you have one more son? And see, you can't let people push you into making a decision that you shouldn't make yet.
Oh, my God. You say, oh, no. Ain't nobody else attracted to me. Let me take him. Ain't nobody else. Let me take her. You better be careful. Oh, come on. You better be careful. God got somebody for you. Man, that's on the outside. You got to pray. God, speak to me. God, speak past my emotions. Hallelujah. Speak past my eyesight. I'm messed up in here.
Look at verse 12. He said, and brought him in, brought David in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, what to Samuel? Arise, anoint him.
For this is He. He is the one.
I come to let somebody know today, you could be the one. It could be your time. It could be your turn. You've been sitting and you've been saying, God, what is it that you want me to do? God, I feel a little something about this. And I feel a little something about that. And God saying, today might be your time. God might send Samuel right to where you're sitting and say, anoint her, anoint him, that you might be the one. You might be the next king. We so busy downing ourselves thinking we need, you know what? When God call you, it ain't got nothing to do with your degrees. Oh, ain't nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with education. Nothing wrong with knowledge. But when God put it in you, it got nothing to do with that. That's that external thing. You can use it when you give it to Him. You can sanctify, use it for His glory. But, you know, he said, arise, anoint Him. Can you imagine how the brothers felt? The tall ones. You know, the ones that have been to valleys. Looking like King, looking like Saul. Can you imagine how they felt? How Samuel come up in here and pass us all and go get that little ruddy, sweet-faced David already being a shepherd. Oh, he was already being a shepherd. For this is He. Anoint Him. And once God puts His anointing on you, I don't care what nobody say. They can't do nothing to you. Once God put His brand on you, put His hand on you, can't nothing. They can say what they want, but they can't do nothing to you. You ought not be like afraid of what folks say. Because what God said is where God goes. You know, that's what goes, whatever God says. Because His word is last, His word is final. Whatever God says you are, that's who you are. I don't care where you go, they might not put you up, they might not receive you, they might not welcome you, but you are who you are, you're who God says you are. And you ought not forget that. Stop changing yourself every time you run into somebody new. They want you to be this, they want me to be that, they want me to be this. You don't know who you are by the end of the day. But look at verse 13. Then what did Samuel do? Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren. And what happened? And the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord did not come upon Eliab. Had Samuel anointed him, the Spirit of the Lord would not have come upon him because he was not the one. Oh my. That's why you ought to just go ahead and find out what God wants you to do. Don't try to be me. Go be yourself. Don't be fooled by folk that make stuff look good. When folk get in front of you and they may minister you in song or they may preach, you don't know what they went through. You better stop talking about you want everybody's life. I wish I had this and had that. No, you don't. You better be careful. Somebody had testimony today. Said, God, look here, God. If you ain't going to keep me here, then move me from this job. You have to be careful what you pray for and what you desire. You sit back in the church, you sit back somewhere, and you say, oh, this stuff looks easy. Ain't nothing to that. Oh, ain't nothing to this. Oh, yeah, yes, it is. There is something to that. But you have to have the anointing of the Lord no matter what God has called you to do. And the anointing of the Lord, after you be anointed, you ought to feel the Spirit and the presence of the Lord in and on your life. And once you feel that and you begin to pursue God and begin to focus in on God, there's a time of preparation. And can't nobody knock you off your square? Can't nobody stop you from studying God's word? Can't nobody stop you from worshiping Him? Can't nobody stop you from coming into the church? Can't nobody stop you from seeking Him? Because the anointing of the Lord is on you. God has already separated, sanctified you, put you on the side to do what He's called you to do. And you don't have to be afraid anymore. But God, no, not me. I can't do the God that I put my anointing on you. And I'm going to begin to open up stuff to you. I'm going to open up my word. I'm going to open up ways for you to do it. I'm going to send you to the place where they shall receive you. And I'm going to send you some places where they shall reject you. But dust off your shoes, because you got my anointing. Everybody's not going to like you, because you've been anointed and appointed by God. Everybody didn't like David. Tried to kill him. Men love darkness rather than light. You got to get ready. You want to use me, Lord. Be careful what you sing and what you pray. Use me, Lord. Any way you want to. Use me, Lord. Whatever you need me to do, God, here I am. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah, which means that when Samuel got finished doing what he was doing, he went on back to where he needed to go. That's what God is doing in the church today. He's sending His anointing on folk that some folk never saw.
oh, it's got to be this one. This one, pray till heaven open. God said, no. I don't want nobody to pray till heaven open. Oh, it's got to be this one over there. This person can sing like a songbird. Every time she sings, the whole church gets so quiet.
God said, no, I'm not looking for somebody to sing like a songbird.
But God, I'm looking for the one that I put the kingship in his heart. I want the one that's out in the field working. I want somebody already working in ministry. I want somebody that already don't know what I'm going to use them for, that's already working in ministry because they know I'm going to use them. I want somebody that loves coming to church. I want somebody that loves worshiping me and praising me. I want somebody that knows how to lean on me and depend on me. I want somebody that got faith in me. I want somebody that don't need a title right now that I can give a title to. When you can work without a title, God, that's the one I want to give a title to. I want somebody that's motivated not by title, but motivated by the fact that I am God. I am the I am God. That I blessed them. That I kept them for days and seasons. I want somebody that I know that love me because I am who I am. They not love me for houses. They not love me for lands. They not love me for cars. They love me for the life that I've given them. And they don't have everything going on either. They got some broke up stuff. They got some junk in the trunk. But they love me because I look beyond their fault. And I supply. You might be the one today that God is calling. There's plenty of good room in my Father's kingdom. What does that mean? That means that you can't look at this area of ministry and say, they got enough people over there. And they got enough people over here. And they got enough people in the pulpit. And they got enough people preaching. If God called you to preach. If God called you to teach. Whatever God called you, he called you to sing. He called you to be a missionary. Whatever. He could send Samuel to your house and you could not even be in the lineup. You could be outside somewhere tending the sheep. You could be outside somewhere saying, they won't let me in. They won't never include me. And Samuel said, wait a minute. Is everybody here? Is there anybody else in the house that I'm missing? And he said, yeah, there's one out in the field. Many of us in the church today, we are the one out in the field. You feel you don't fit in. And you really do. You fit into God's plan for your life. Ain't nothing wrong with being awkward when you got the anointing. Glory be to God. You should not have a desire to always fit in everywhere because your light's shining. But the anointing of the Lord. And there's some folks that, you know, I know what they say. They say, you know what? David ain't going to make it. You ever somebody tell you what you ain't going to do? He ain't going to make it. Some folks say that about us. Hey, that church ain't going to be nothing. He ain't got no leadership skills. But I know where to get some from. Whatever God called you to do. Every time, when I was out there, every time I needed something, I went to the boss. Don't listen to stuff they be saying. They said, David, how David going to be king? Look at him. Look at him. He ain't got no muscles. Look at him. He out there playing with Mary, had a little lamb. Look at him. That's how people talk about us. What they going to do in church. What they going to offer God. Look at them. They don't even like they listen to the word. Man, they're going to be outside. You got proof nothing to nobody. You don't have to come in here not one Sunday with the Bible off your coffee table trying to prove to folks that you read the Word of God. You don't have to save up all your money to get you a great big cross and have to get you a midget to help you carry it down the street. You don't need all that stuff. You just need the anointing of God. God has touched your heart and God is speaking to you. God said, I want you here and I want you there. And I'm preparing you for this and I'm preparing you for that. But watch out for the preparation period because it's not all fun. Saul trying to kill David. God has called some of you today, and some folks trying to kill your dreams, and kill your vision, and kill your life out of jealousy and envy. You told them, well, I believe God called me to do such and such. Guess what some folks told people? Oh, you know, pastor and co-pastor ain't going for that. You better stop listening to folks. It's what God says. They said David wasn't going to make it. I imagine they laughed at Moses, said that a doggone killer. You're supposed to kill somebody, you know. You know, and he ran away. I don't think you can use a killer. Can you? I think David messed up with Bathsheba, didn't he? Oh, God only uses perfect folk. I'm sorry. God only uses perfect people. If you're perfect, that's when God can use you.
God can only use those people that got everything together. Amen. The family's fine. The job is fine. The finances are fine. Their mind is fine. They walk fine. They think fine. They look fine. That's what God's waiting for. God ain't going to use no little David. He ain't going to use somebody all broke up from the flow up. He ain't going to use nobody like that. No, he got to have the cute folk and the fine folk and the handsome folk and the rich. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Whatever God ordained you to be, that's what you're going to be. And guess what? I'm going to tell you from experience. You ain't going to sleep till you say yes. Anybody not sleeping? I got you. Forget that. Take Simonex tonight and sleep. No. Night hall, no. Not at all. But it may be you because God is looking for you and God knows where you are. It's almost like he got some kind of homing device on you. That he got a low jack on you. Because he blew into you the breath of life. And God knows exactly what he blew into you. Once you stop fighting God and say yes to his will and yes to his way, and you keep telling yourself out of fear, they won't accept me. They're going to reject me. That's your fear talking to you. And God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Samuel's not ready to anoint you. And you in the out there in the yard, I hope they don't call me in. Oh, my God, I'm going to be so scared. I don't know what I'm going to do. I hope they don't anoint me. Your life won't be complete till you get anointed. The completeness of your life is in your response to God's call on your life. Moses, somebody probably said Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They ain't going to make it. Getting all these messed up folks. Abraham lying. Isaac and Jacob playing games. How about Cool Joe? I'm glad Joseph don't live nowadays because he had that coat of many colors on. So he might say, Joe. You find somebody with a coat of many colors, you'd be like, I can sing a rainbow. Some people look at Deborah and Esther and say, they ain't going to make it. Who they think they are? How they going to make it? Can you imagine what Mary, the mother of Jesus, went through? Or bringing on home, do you know what Ben Carson, the great physician, go through? They said he was dyslexic. Somebody said he ain't going to make it. Put him in a different class. Put him in a slow class. How about Dr. Martin Luther King? Somebody said he wasn't going to make it. Somebody said Barack Obama wasn't going to make it. Don't let folk tell you you can't make it. When you got the anointing of God on your life, don't tell nobody what you can't do. Don't listen to that crap. How about Tyler Perry? Homeless. Now Ford's got to listen way up there somewhere. Don't tell me you can't make it. Stop looking down on yourself. Pastor, you don't understand what I've been through. Look at me. Man, look on the eyes. I wish I could see your heart. That's why they do ultrasounds. Is it called ultrasound? Ultrasound? When they want to see what's going on with the baby. It's called ultrasound. Because the poor doctor can't see nothing in his naked eye. You can tell him some stuff. I feel this way, I feel that way. Well, that sounds like something. I'm going to send you get some special tests. Because they really can't see what's going on. But the ultrasound shows them how the baby doing. You know, the ultrasound on your heart might show you what God put in there. Hallelujah. But if they did one on your heart, they can't read it. All they can look is at the, you know, at the, you know, the ventricles and the aorta and all that kind of stuff. But God knows what he put in you. That's why he's calling you. That's why you keep saying, Lord, this is something I need. And you change jobs, and guess what? That wasn't it. You changed boyfriends, that wasn't it. You changed girlfriends, that wasn't it. As a matter of fact, you even changed husbands. And you changed wives, and that was it. As a matter of fact, you moved to a different city and a different part of town. It was better everything, better schools, and better this and better that. And there's still an emptiness. Emptiness in you. Because somebody said you weren't going to make it. But God already anointed you. You might be the one today. Somebody said Jesus was going to make it. Yes, they did. They tried to kill him. As soon as he came to the world. They try to knock him off. All this time on the earth, they were trying to mess him up. But God said, that's the one I want. You know why? Because nobody can do what you do the way you want it. Now, you may not want to do the job God gave you to do, And somebody else might come and do the job that you're supposed to do, but they can't do it like you because you had the anointing for it. Oh, my God, my God. You ever been on a job a long time and you real good at what you do and you had to take off and they put somebody in your spot and you back the next day you had to redo what they did because they can't do it like you do it? That's what I'm trying to tell you today. The anointing is on you. And can't nobody do what God called you to do? God got somebody there right now, but they're not the one he really wants in there. Don't be sitting there talking about, I can't do that. They already got somebody in that spot. I can't do that right now. Don't forget there's a preparation period. By the time you get prepared, that person will be moving on to another ministry. Lord have mercy. You can't get away like that. But they, you know, they thought Jesus was the only one that could be the savior of the world. There's no other. Can't nobody hang on the cross like Jesus? Can't nobody die like Jesus? Can't nobody bleed like Jesus? Can't nobody get up like Jesus? You might be the one. Today, God might be speaking to you. There's anointing on your life. And you said, oh my God, I knew I should have stayed home today. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. It was a sign to me this morning. I woke up and the covers was off me. God done pulled the cover off. Lord, have mercy. And God is calling me. If you want your life fulfilled, not only do you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to respond to the anointing on your life. God has called you to ministry. Every one of us has a gift in the body of Christ. So the body of Christ can be healthy, vibrant, and strong. It's made for the edification of the body and the glorification of God. And God sent this message to us today. You might be the one. Samuel, or Samuelina, is coming to anoint you. And everybody, they knew he was in the building, so they started standing all around. Samuel, you gonna get me? Samuel, you gonna hit me with a little bit of that? You gonna hit me? Samuel said no. God don't want you for this position. He put it in somebody else's heart. When he calls for the position that he put in your heart, I'll come back. But for right now, I'm looking for the one that God called for the position that's in their heart. He put it in them before they were formed in their mother's womb. And it will fulfill their happiness. It will complete their lives. You ever think about that? You're going through stuff back and forth. You're trying to get fulfillment, and it's in your life. That's what Pastor Waller did on Friday night when he opened up the church. That's what he said. The lost coins, come on up. Those that have callings, those that are supposed to be doing something that God told them to do, and you haven't said yes to them, don't be afraid to come up because it's a preparation period. But I tell you, life will be a whole lot better, a whole lot more fulfilled if you do what God tells you to do. That's why Jesus came. See, we thought the abundant life was the fact that he would give us money, heal our bodies. No, the abundant life means that you actually are being fulfilled by doing what God called you to do. How about the folks that's already good at what they do in church? They good. They good. God can't be telling me to do nothing else. Why not? He can move you different minutes. He can have you doing 2 or 3 ministries. Oh, Pastor, I'm doing enough. Yeah, I know it's hard to get here every Sunday. But the Lord is good. Man looketh on the outside, but God looketh at the heart. God has looked at your heart today. Let us all stand. There may be someone here. Someone here today that wants to give their life to Christ. That's the first call. Someone wants to give their life to Christ. Someone wants to commit themselves to Christ, rededicate their life to Christ. Somebody wants to become a member of the church, change the church membership. God is saying to you today, come on, step out, give your life to Christ. If you're here today, come on.